Welcome to the Irish Pagan School podcast. Your hosts are authors and co-founders of the Irish Pagan School here in County Waterford, Ireland, Laura O'Brien and John O'Sullivan. Fáilte.
Like the year of August Fáilte. Hi, hello and welcome. It is John O'Sullivan from the Irish Pagan School and we are here with our weekly check-in, coffee chats and talks. And it's something that's been running along my mind, which is kind of topical for the time of year, but I think I should take a sip of my beverage before we kick off and just lubricate the palate and the pipes, as they say. So you may have noticed I have a different surroundings here at the moment, and that is because we are coming to the end of our relocation with the Irish Pagan School and our home environment. So we're very glad that that has gone well. But there's the reason why I wanted to check in, or the thing I wanted to chat about there this week, is the synchronicities that occur on occasion when you work with a goddess of transformation. And by that, I'm talking about the Morrigan. So before we dive further on, of course, make sure you pop down into the resources below or the description or the links that we have accompanying this, wherever you're kind of picking up, be it on YouTube or in Patreon or on the podcast. And we always kind of give a link to resources. It's a resource guide. It kind of breaks it down by topic. And it's trying to point out what we here at the Irish Pagan School suggest as good reading material to get under yourself as you begin to kind of deepen your connection with the Irish Pagan Path and the Gods. Completely free. Pop in, grab it as a download. It does get you onto the mailing list. Mailing list, you get like a couple of emails a week. I think it's three, which is reminders of what's going on with us. What's like, you know, directing you to these resources that we do, the again, video podcasts and other kind of content, the blog posts that we write. Actually, like, it's a big win for the blog at the moment, Irish Pagan School blog, because we have topped, I think it's like 8,000 people have kind of popped along and kind of read some of the stuff, which is absolutely awesome. And the podcast is doing great as well. I may have got those numbers mixed up, but yeah, either which way, our community is engaging where we are, and that is fantastic. So we're delighted with that. But I promised you Morrigan content, and that's where my thoughts have been of late. So when we look at the Morrigan, the Irish goddess, and it's not because there's a dark figure in a beautiful painting behind me. It is also because of where we are in our calendar year. Once a year, the Irish Pagan School do an annual program, which is about focusing and deepening the connection with the Irish goddess, the Morrigan. It's called the Morrigan Intensive. And the reason why it's called intensive is because shit gets intense. So we're delighted and we're honored that so many people have joined us this year, the class of 2023, which is when this is recorded, has already been selected, and they're already up and running with the content, which we're delighted, and we're getting great reviews right off the bat from, which is fantastic. But we do it every year, and it is designed to kind of explore the lore of the goddess, sure, but it goes deeper into the practical elements of turning up on a regular basis, engaging with this goddess, and to go deeper with the Morrigan in your own spiritual path and connection. Now, of course, that's not for everybody, but for those who are, they invariably find that it tends to be a time of change for them. And so that's where my thought process has been going through all of this. Because when we look at the Morrigan in the lore, she's referred to as a goddess of battle, poetry, and prophecy. Now, again, battle is not war. She's not a war goddess. That's a very, very fucking different thing. We're talking about battle. And battles, sustaining a battle against your enemy, it wasn't annihilation. It wasn't industrialized warfare as we think of it these days. It was like, you know, inter-tribe kind of conflict, which is resolved with conflict, with battle. Sometimes it's resolved purely between champions. Other times it's evolved between groups of warriors who represent the will of the tribe or the chieftains of those tribes. Very rarely is it a full-on outright invasion. That's why the Tombaugh Cuilnge, which we find in the Ulster cycle, is such a big deal and a big saga, because there's multiple other Tán is the ancient Irish word for raid, and so there was multiple cattle raids. The Tombaugh Cuilnge was not the only cattle raid of the time, because cattle were wealth. And so part of the process of those rivalries, those kind of interchieftain issues, was raiding, and it was something that was done and accepted as a standard of life, and in some ways as a passage towards adulthood or championship or warriorship. You'd have to go on a ton, you'd have to go on a raid. But the Tambo Cunha does take it to a whole different degree because of the slights that have been kind of placed against Maeve with the Ulster Cycle issue, because of the unwise words of men. Unfortunately, she is compelled into the state that goes beyond battle into war, and that's where she calls up everyone who owes her allegiance, which is pretty much most the rest of the warrior tribes of Ireland, including a subsection of the Ulster Cycle warriors who had left in exile to join her with Fergus MacRoth, the once king of Ulster before Concover takes it in. But again, I'm losing myself going way down into the Ulster Cycle. I taught a whole lot of classes on the Ulster Cycle in the Irish Pagan School, if anyone is interested. But when we talk about battle, it is a function of change. It's a function of either change of ownership, change of kind of authority. It's not war and annihilation. And so when we talk about prophecy, prophecy is forecasting the change. It's foreseeing that there is going to be change, that change is going to happen, it's going to come along. And most famously, we see that in the mythological cycle, where after the meeting of the men and the goddess, where the Dagda meets with when Lu takes the seat of the king, Nuada, Gwivnu, Dinkecht, and Dagda go and have a meeting for a year to kind of plan, because they know what's coming down the line. They know the posing breasts, the failed king, is going to lead to a Fomorian issue and a Fomorian invasion. At the end of that meeting, the Dagda goes to the Morrigan to get a prophecy from her as to where the Fomorian forces are going to land in Ireland. And so they are bringing change. There is this change that is going to come, but it's the prophecy aspect that we see that she is able to foretell or forecast that the change is going to come. And then the last thing is poetry. And you might think that's the odd one out. Surely battle is change, and then prophecy is forecasting of change. But where does poetry fit? The poetry fits very squarely with the change, is because the change needs to be documented. It needs to be remembered. It needs to be carried forward and observed. And that is the function of the bard or the poet. We see it again at the end of the Second Battle of Moytura. There's been absolute full-on murder, massacre. Like, Nuada has died, his wife Macha has died, Oma has reaped the bounty amongst the Fomorian kings. Like, it, and Balor has been slain by Lu, completing the prophecy of the grandson killing the grandfather. So there's a lot of kind of stuff that is done and accomplished in there. But it's not actually over until the Morrigan observes what has happened and recites her poetry to document it. So even in the poetry aspect is a function of change, because the only change that's going to be worthwhile is change that is observed, is remembered, and then is then worked from there as we grow. So the reason why I wanted to kind of talk through this there today is because the Morrigan intensive. Attracting the attention of this goddess is inviting and preparing and being open to change. But change by another word could, and when, again, another word, when we kind of look at the Morrigan specifically as a shapeshifter in the Ulster Cycle, she appears in multiple different forms throughout the entire kind of series, showing that she is able to change her shape or alter her form. And in each step, it is about her ability to fit the form that needs the function. Like, she needs to come against Cú Chulainn in a couple of different forms, so she changes those forms to do it. She then needs to, like, you know, get Cú Chulainn to kind of make right by what he did to her with the woundings, and so she has a form to do that. Like, all of the time, her form fits her function, and the function is a function of change. Another word for that, though, is transformation. So the Morrigan in all of these aspects is a goddess, not of war, not of sex, not of motherhood, not of a whole lot of other bullshit that is out there at the moment and still going on. Sorry, someone else recently who is an absolute shred up appropriator of Irish culture has doubled down on the Morrigan as a war goddess and a love goddess. It's bullshit. She's a goddess of transformation. And we can see that very clearly in the lore, in the information, in the details that we have, but then also in the experiential connections that are happening with people who choose to work with her and choose to dedicate their attention towards her and gain her attention to them in their life. Now, just a quick clarification. At no point in any of this process is the Irish Pagan School initiating anyone or, like, you know, creating dedication processes. We, and I've done another video on this, our stance is not to stand between you and your gods or, like, you know, direct or channel your spiritual relationship and spiritual growth, because that's not for us. Your spiritual growth is for you in all of the empowerment, but in also in all of the responsibility for it. What we're doing with all of these processes is guiding, providing tools, providing framework, and then providing community structure for safety for people to kind of pursue this growth for themselves and to pursue the transformation. And so the Morrigan Intensive is designed to do that. It is about, you know, you might have information already. You might be working with the Morrigan already. You might have had experiences with the Morrigan already. But the intensive is designed for people who want to give a dedication. Now, again, not dedicate themselves to a goddess. It could be part of the function if people choose to do that in the intensive. That is up to them. But it is about to turn up for themselves and their spiritual growth and their connection to this goddess and to kind of gather her attention through this regular interaction, through regular kind of meditation guided journeys that we have, and then also through exploring the lore, doing the reading, and kind of making sure you're there for yourself and then being open towards that connection and transformation. We do see that things can, as I said, get intense. And there are people who find that, you know, relationships come apart, or like home environments kind of may shift or change. And like ourselves, you know, at the same time as we're on the run up to the Morrigan Intensive, we get an eviction notice from the place we've been for 6 years and we have to move house to a new location. So all at the same time as Laura is getting us across the line and making sure that the Morrigan Intensive people have the window to get engaged with that program, John is like making sure our home environment is then moved to a new location and that, you know, our family has security and stability, which is a function of our partnership, which works really well for us. But we too are going through cycles of transformation. And the thing that I would like to kind of maybe wrap this up on and kind of just connect it all back to is the fact that when we work with these Irish gods, we open ourselves to their influences within our life. For me, when working with the Dagda, it was about stability. It was about bravery. It was about courage. It was about emotional intelligence. Like, it was about fatherhood and being able to step into that role. The Morrigan is about transformation. It is about those changes that come along. And, you know, I'm here for that ride with Laura all the way along. And that is our work with it. But the people who go through this process may experience some kind of difficult changes. It might be a change of job, a change of financial circumstance, change of family circumstance, change of relationship circumstance. What we have always seen time after time, year after year of doing this program, I think we're, 6 years? This is now the sixth year we've done the Morrigan Intensive. Although Laura might correct me on that. Wait. Oh, gosh. No, I think we're doing programming before the Irish Pagan School even existed. But we have been years. We have absolutely been years at this. And within the moment, people see that the transformation can be very challenging. It can be very difficult. But what we have always seen is that the transformations that occur during these processes or working with a goddess of transformation are invariably the shedding of the things that do not serve. The shedding of the burdens, the challenges, the limiting beliefs that we may have of ourselves. That is another big one. We have people who, you know, come into it. One of the people who've gone through the Morrigan Intensive in the past, absolute legend. His name is Sam Bo Thompson. He was concerned about the academic reading and the academic element of it. At the end of which, having gone through the intensive program, he's actually written and published his own very successful book. Now, we're not saying that because he went through our program, he was able to do that. At all, absolutely not. We're not taking credit for him and his amazing journey that he's gone through. But that is a fantastic example of how a limiting belief that was maintained was transformed and moved beyond that. And we have many other examples where people who have a limiting belief about themselves and their ability to do, their ability to guide a journey, their ability to kind of document, to you know, go back into an education environment in regards to this intensive program, find that if they're willing to turn up and do that, those beliefs are no longer something that serves them. And so they lose those beliefs and they come out of it on the other side of it with a much better version of self. They go through a transformation. And again, we've had people who have had relationships fall apart, but afterwards they come to us and it's like, well, actually, that, it turns out that relationship wasn't the best for me. And I now have better places to go in my life, fulfilling their own needs, fulfilling their own growth. The reason why I want to touch base on that is that when we deal with our deities, when we are like, and as pagans, it's this belief that they are independent, functioning, fulfilled entities in their own right, with their own programs, their own agendas, their own purposes. When we invite them into our life, when we invite them into our relationships and build this core equivalence, this right relationship that we're always talking about here at the school, we're opening ourselves to their processes for us. And that's a big step that can happen. And it can be uncomfortable. It can be quite challenging. But at the end of the day, those who kind of stick to it and stick to their own beliefs of self, to stick to the healthy beliefs of self, allowing themselves to go through these transformations, allowing themselves to go through these changes, pretty much nearly everyone I've kind of come across comes out as a better sense of self. It might be a struggle, it might be difficult, but when we look at it, like, life is struggling and growing. That which does not change stagnates and dies. Like, all of us, our life, our existence is a function of change from the very beginnings of our, you know, existence as, like, separating cells to becoming an entity, to then growing and changing as an entity, changing our minds, changing our emotions, changing our form as we grow. And like, there is so much change that happens in life, but life is a function of change, or change is a function of life. You know, none of us are born fully fulfilled as we are to then go out of this world without having had some transformation. And that's really the power of the Morrigan when we talk about this. It's not just, oh, she says pretty words in poetry. She documents the change. She documents the transformation. And that is what makes it stick. That is what makes it formed and real and going forward. So those who step into the Morrigan Intensive, doing so from a place of faith and belief in this goddess, are opening themselves to accepting the fact that she knows better, because prophecy, she will take you through the hardship, which is the battle. And it might be a battle. It might be a battle of like emotion, a battle of like intellect, a battle of even physical. Like, you know, there might be some kind of conflict that has to happen for that transformation, but at the outset, at the end of it, like, it will be something that is remembered. It will be something that will, you know, be documented, and that will, when we bed that in for ourselves, when we hold on to that kind of telling of the story after the fact, we then grow from there. We take that to the next level, and that is something that I am always excited to see with all of the people who kind of step in with us at the Irish Pagan School. If they do the Morrigan Intensive, or even if they do any of the classes, any of the other classes at all, it is the transformation that people can find when they're turning up for themselves and they're turning up for their relationships with their gods, guides, and guardians. And you know, I'm 100% here, not between you and your deities, not between you and your journey. I am on the sidelines. I am sometimes a guidepost to say, maybe turn left or turn right, or have you considered, you know, this piece of information, but I'm always going to be cheering you on. I'm always going to be cheering and hoping and willing for the best result for you, for yourself, because that is what matters at the end of the day. So with that, we're going to finish off our chat. I'm going to take another sip of my beverage. Thank you very much for being with us. I'm really, really grateful for you turning up and joining us at the Irish Pagan School. And I will always say, make sure you pop down and grab those resources. It gets you onto the mailing list and it puts you in connection with a lot of the other content that we produce in the school, but also other people within the school. A big, big part of the Morrigan Intensive is the group who gather together to kind of do it together. And we see it time and again in our second Saturday social sessions that we hang out with, people turning up to be around people, other people of interest, like-minded interest individuals. Even if they're all across the world at different time zones, they still turn up to kind of connect and to be part of community and to be part of tribe. So we are absolutely 100% honored by that. We're delighted by that. And until the next time, look after yourself. Take care. Agus slán. Goodbye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a positive review in your podcast listener. Then head over to irishpaganschool.com and enroll in one of our free or paid courses. Sláinte fóill, and we will see you next time.